most respected elder and friends. Surah An-Nisa commences in the fourth juz of the Quran Kareem and extends till the fifth juz of the Quran Kareem. The translation of this verse is, O you who have Iman, bring Iman on Allah. O you who have Iman, bring Iman on Allah. This is an amazing verse. On one side, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala addresses us as believers, people of Iman. And after having addressed us as people of Iman, Allah is telling us to bring Iman. And in order to understand this verse, an example will be suitable. There's a relationship between the father and the son. The son got lots and lots of potential, but very disobedient, not fulfilling the right of the parents. He can do more than what he is doing, but he's not fulfilling that. So father will tell to a son, son, be my son. On one side, acknowledging that he's a son, but on the other side, the father is telling him, be my son. It means, act like a son. Be obedient. Do what you're supposed to do. Likewise, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is telling us that, oh, you who have Iman, bring Iman on Allah. Fulfill the dictates of Iman. Don't just claim that you have Iman. Fulfill the dictates of Iman. And this can be exemplified from another verse of the Quran Kareem. Some villages, Bedouins, at the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, came to Madinatul Munawwara. And they told to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we brought Iman. So Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala corrected them. Qalatil a'rabu amanna. The villages, the Bedouins, they have come and they said, we brought Iman. So Allah said, قُلْ لَن تُؤْمِنُوا. Don't say you brought Iman. وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Say that we have become Muslims. When a person says, La ilaha illallah, then he has become part of the Muslim community. But Iman is something different. The ulama have explained, one is Iman and one is Islam. Iman literally means tasdeeq bil qalb, to testify from the heart. And this is what we have learned in Maktab, Iman mujmal, Iman mufassal. Amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhir wal qadr khairihi wa sharrihi min Allah ta'ala. We bring Iman on Allah, we bring Iman on the malaika, we bring Iman on the kitab, we bring Iman on jannat and jahannam, we bring Iman on taqdeer, good and bad, everything is from Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. This is the some of the basic tenets of Iman. And this is something that we make tasdeeq, testify from our hearts. And Islam is to verbalize it, to proclaim it with our tongues. One is that a person just say that he believed in his heart in Allah and the basic tenets of Iman, but if a person does not verbalize it, then we cannot treat him to be like a Muslim. He may be a Muslim between him and Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We as Muslims, we have to be very, very sensitive to our Iman. This is the greatest gift that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has given us. And we should always fear losing our Iman. We should always fear not fulfilling the dictates of Iman. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi has presented a very thought-provoking topic on this matter. He has said, khawful mu'min yuhbata amalu. A mu'min, a person with Iman, should always fear losing his Iman and losing his amal. And for that, he has presented a very inspiring, thought-provoking statement of a great alim of our time, Ibrahim Taymi rahmatullah alayhi. Before presenting to you what Imam Bukhari has mentioned about Ibrahim Taymi, there's a very thought-provoking incident about Ibrahim Taymi himself. There were two Ibrahims at the time of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. One was Ibrahim Nakhai. He was a very great alim. Imam Abu Hanifa's ustad was Hammad. And Hammad's ustad and teacher was Ibrahim Nakhai. He was at the time of Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. You must have heard, he's a famous tyrant ruler of the time. So Hajjaj ibn, because he was such an influential person, Ibrahim Nakhai, he basically, the whole Muslim world, when they would hear Ibrahim Nakhai, they would have the greatest amount of respect and honor for him. And when a person is very popular, then the king, then the ruler of the time feel very threatened for him, about him. So Ibrahim Nakhai, being very, very popular, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf sent his police, his intelligence, to go and arrest him. So intelligence and the officers, instead of going to Ibrahim Nakhai with the wrong identity, they went to Ibrahim Taymi. Now Ibrahim Taymi was also a very great alim of his time, but in relation to Ibrahim Nakhai, he was a junior. So police officers came to Ibrahim Taymi, they asked him, what's your name? He told Ibrahim. He didn't say Taymi. He said Ibrahim. They thought he was Ibrahim Nakhai, they arrested him, they took him. Ibrahim Taymi did not protest that I'm not the person to be convicted, I'm not the person to be arrested. He went along. He was then arrested, put in prison, in a most treacherous prison of the time, which is in Wasit, which is even in present-day Iraq. They mentioned those prisons were such that they had no roof, and the prisoner inside would have to bear all type of weathers. The heat of summer, the snow of winter. After some time, when Ibrahim Taymi's mother came to see Ibrahim Taymi in prison, she could not even recognize that it was her son. He even passed away in prison. Now, Ibrahim Taymi knew for the fact that Hajjaj ibn Yusuf looking for Ibrahim Nakhai, but he basically, he had offered himself, and he thought to himself that if I can be wrongly arrested and save a great alim of the time, Ibrahim Nakhai, instead of his life being taken away, rather my life being taken away, he's a senior alim. If he's been arrested and he's going to be killed, then the ummah will suffer. What great sacrifice is totally unheard of today. It is the same Ibrahim Taymi, whose level of iman was of such a level, he has mentioned, مَا عَرَسْتُ قَوْلِي عَلَىٰ عَمَلِي إِلَّا أَنْ أَكُونَ مُكَذَّبًا مُكَذِّبًا. Whenever I presented my iman, whenever I presented my amal, my actions on my iman, on one side I claim, لا إله إلا الله. And on the other side, it is my iman, my amal, my practices. When I compare my practices to my iman, whether they measure equally, they are parallel, whether I'm fulfilling the dictates of iman, whenever I made this measure and I took an account of my a'mal in parallel with my iman, I always felt that I'm a liar. A person with such great iman makes such great sacrifices, but he says, whenever I compared my a'mal, my actions with my iman, then I felt that I'm a liar. I'm one side I'm claiming la ilaha illallah, but I'm not fulfilling the dictates of iman. What great statement this is. And that is why a mu'min always, he is on the edge. I hope I'm not doing anything wrong. I hope I'm not doing anything wrong. And then Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi quotes an ayat of the Quran Kareem. Sometimes we got iman, we got amal, but we may not even know that we do certain things, that we may even lose our iman, we may even lose our amal. And then we think that we are treading the path of piety. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that do not raise your voices in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not call Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how you would call one another. And because of this disrespect, it shouldn't happen that you would lose all your a'mal and you would not even know. From this, Imam Bukhari proves a point that sometimes you may accumulate a'mal, you may have iman, but you may do something wrong that you may just lose everything. And that is why he also mentioned a statement, مَا خَافَهُ إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ وَلَا أَمِنَهُ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٌ مَا خَافَهُ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنٌ وَلَا أَمِنَهُ إِلَّا مُنَافِقٌ. That only a person with iman, he would fear nifaq. he would fear hypocrisy. So a person of iman is always very, very sensitive and careful. When a person is sick, he's ill, you can see he's losing blood. You can see he's losing weight. He's going to go to a doctor for a diagnosis. The doctor will find out, diagnose what the problem, and then after that, doctor will try to tell him to have different type of foods. He's completely dehydrated. The doctor probably will send him to a dietitian or a person that would give him good advice on nutritious food. Eat the almonds, have the zafran in the milk, have the vegetables, have the fruits, different varieties, various type of food that is very good for his health. So the more he eats, the more his health will become better. The more he eats, the more energy he will have. Like that, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi presents that iman is murakkab. Iman comprised of many, many components. And then Imam Bukhari enumerates many, many things about iman. You do this of iman, your iman will increase. You do that of iman, your iman will increase. You feed people food, your iman will increase. You stay away from certain things, you'll protect your iman. It is just like the various type of energetic food you eat it, then it will increase your appetite, it will increase your energy. Likewise, we fulfill various dictates of iman, we will also increase the level of our iman. And that is why we believe iman yazid wa yanqus. That iman will increase. And the more you do of iman, the more your iman will increase. And you don't do anything, your iman will decrease. One of the things that Imam Bukhari mentions, that to come out in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. He speaks in the context of jihad. Coming out in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, al-jihad min al-iman. For the ulama, the min is here for ba'ziyat, juz'iyat, that jihad is also a juz of iman, which means that going out in a path of Allah is also a part of iman. From there, Imam Bukhari showed many components of iman, and among the many components, one is going out in a path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Brothers, we live in an environment that get infested, we get saturated with all the evils that are around us. Sometimes we need a change of environment. We need to go out in a path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And we need to also rejuvenate our iman. Our iman, when we're staying around here, all the time is on asbab. We need to come out from asbab and connect ourselves with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Our iman is not on what our eyes see. Our iman is not on what our ears only hear. Our iman is not on what our hands and feet touch. Our iman is on what Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned. This is iman bil ghaib, and our iman is not on wasail. Wasail is just a means, but we move away from wasail to connect ourselves with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But because we live in this environment of wasail, of means, we got so used and obsessed to the wasail, we need to come out in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala to strengthen our iman. And this is a very, very important thing. The moment we strengthen, go into an environment, all the time Allah is spoken about, the Rasul of Allah is spoken about, and that creates the azmat, the greatness of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the heart. That is why Allah told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beginning, وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ. Allah ki barai bayan karo. Speak the greatness of Allah. And the moment you speak about, more and more you speak about Allah, the azmat of Allah will come in the heart, and that is why it mentioned, effort was first made at iman. When the effort is made at iman, after any hukam will come. Do this, you'll do it. Don't do it, you won't do it. Simply because you have already reached a level of iman where you can comply with the orders of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Otherwise, sahaba, in the beginning stage of Islam, many of them used to, were addicts to wine and alcohol. What was it that suddenly the ayat of the Quran al-Kareem came? First it was told to them that there's benefit in it, but the harm is more. Then he told him, salat time, don't drink alcohol. And then soon after that, the ayah came. Where Umar radiallahu ta'ala made dua, Allahumma bayyin lana bayana shafiya. Allah gives a very, very comprehensive bayan on this wine and alcohol. Then Allah revealed as well, innama al-khamr wal-maisir wal-ansab wal-azlam, ritsum min amal shaitan, fajtanibu. Now, sahaba, a person that is an addict to wine and alcohol, addict to anything, for him to suddenly leave something is unimaginable, beyond comprehension. That is why one Hindu mentioned, one non-Muslim writer, see, I fail to believe that the Sahaba were addicted to wine and alcohol, and suddenly when the order came, then they left out wine and alcohol. I fail to believe it. How can an addict suddenly just leave it? Nobody gave the answer. Maulana Shaikh Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he said a Muslim person answered it. And told a person, you fail to believe this because you have no iman. These issues we only understand it through iman. When you got iman in you, then you will understand it. Likewise, in this case, the Sahaba mentioned the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim, Abu Dawud, Tirmizi, Sahaba, some of them who actually had the goblet of wine. And the moment it was told to them, haram. Now imagine that they're about to drink it. The desire is there to drink it. That's why they've got it in there. And suddenly it's told to the haram. They spilt it over. And probably if it was in our situation, what we would do. You've got one haram burger. They say before Sanha or Iksa or MJC come, let us just finish it off. And I'll just eat it up. That's our situation. But anyway, this was the iman. This was the iman of the Sahaba. And this is the iman that we're supposed to be working on. That is why the fikr for the istima is made. It's not made for any personal motive and agenda. It's made for our own benefit. We come out in a path of Allah. We go in an environment where Allah and the Rasul is spoken about. And we keep on hearing this, our iman will increase. And the moment the iman increases, now to make our islah will become easy. Now to practice on the dictate of Shariat will become easy. And therefore, the istima that is taking place, encourage one another, going out the istima, or helping towards the istima. Not only the istima, yes, of course, I mentioned it before, istima is not farz, not wajib, not sunnat, but is an effective way of changing and bringing about a revolution in a person's life. I will just terminate with one incident, which in my father's incident, what brought about a change and revolution in his life, and I will terminate with that. My father, from what I heard from him personally, rahmatullahi alayh, he, in the beginning stages, they were very, very modern. One Saturday night, he had all his friends in the house. They all came to play cards. In those days, they used to play cards and whatever it is. Whole Saturday night was reserved for that. By Padia, rahmatullahi alayh, he came for gush, asar time. So somebody told the Baipadia to get hold of my father, Chotamata. He had the gift of the gab. He was a good speaker. So he took get hold of him. He would also help in this work and he would be useful. So my father said when Baipadia Rahmatullah came and first met him, Baipadia had a style. He would meet somebody, embrace him, kiss him and show a lot of love and affection and told him that, you know, he must come to a masjid, Maghrib time. So my father said he got so irritated. That, yeah, all my friends are here, now I must go to a masjid. So he just said, yeah, he'll come to a masjid. Baipadia went to him. To his surprise, Baipadia came Maghrib time to fetch him again. And my mother from behind was hearing this whole discussion, and she prepared the bedding for my father, and without my father knowing anything, she already sent it in a masjid. When my father went to a masjid, he already saw his bedding there, and he said he got mad with my mother. Who told her to send the bedding? Anyway, Maghrib time, after Maghrib, after Isha, went away in the masjid. After that, Taalim, etc. Now my father is worried about all the friends at home because they still have to spend the night playing cards. So he said, he doesn't know what happened by Padia Rahmatullah Alayhi. He just came to him, embraced him. Chodamata, you sleep one night in a masjid. One night, only one night, tomorrow morning you'll go. See, the way by Padia got around him, he forgot about going home. Now the following morning, he thought immediately in the morning he will leave and he will carry on. But he said, what happened that one night that changed the mahol, that environment, brought such a revolution in his heart. Following day, he made intention for 40 days, and that is when they carried on the path of Allah. That was one of the beginning stages when they went away to Cape Town, the first istima, my father was a taxi driver, ajeeb, ajeeb, waqiyat, and incident he has mentioned. So brothers, these are, a change of environment can bring about a means of change in your own life. It could be a means of hidayat. It could bring about a revolution. And it could be a new page in your life. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.